Oh my God. Fellas, we're back.
I missed that jingle.
Oh, so did I.
Back.
Chills.
This is what it's all about, folks. On possibly the funniest Dynamite to ever review, Fleet Week is back. Chris, how are you feeling?
To ever return to review.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into it, but it was certainly a show.
Correct.
I still don't know whether I loved it or I just, you know, it was a show. But no,
it was
very Dynamite in that regard. But yeah, I'm glad to be here with you guys talking about it. It's been too long.
It's been too long, but it still feels like we're picking right back up. That's bullshit. I didn't even put that on the screen. That's unfair. There are higher powers at play here, folks. There's someone in the backstage area lurking. That is very unfair. Tope, how are you?
I'm feeling amazing. It's like getting back on a bike. Dynamite was dynamite. I'm going to the cinema tonight though, so we got that lined up.
What are you going to see?
Monkey Man coming out.
Ooh.
Yeah. Seeing the Dolby. But yeah, feeling good. Excited to get back into Fleet Weekend.
How are you doing?
Hold on. Tope, did you say Fleet Week?
Yeah.
It's Fleet Week.
I feel like that's off limits.
Did you see the intro? Okay.
Moving on.
Okay. Are we just gonna kick it off with the opening promo?
Do we have to?
I mean, we can, or we could just go straight into the vibrator, which also starts with the opening promo. Or do we save the vibrator pop? Oh, fuck it. Here it is.
Whoa.
This is fucking incredible. I think Tope made this about 5 minutes ago. It was finished?
Correct.
Okay. Well, here we are, folks. Adam Copeland opened the show with an interesting promo. You know, I didn't mind the beginning of it when he was just kind of, you know, talking, things of that nature. And then he just did this tremendous, well, more embarrassing than anything, bootlicking promo. Chris, I'll throw it to you first.
Well, let's not forget, he asked for this time. He asked for this time. He needed to clarify that he was not told to do this. He asked for this time on the show. Yeah, so I had to go back later and watch the beginning, but I started watching it and then immediately texted you guys like, this kind of stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's immediately, it was the first thing I saw when I tuned in. This sucks. Like,
terribly embarrassing.
Bro, like, we get it. We're the, like, look, what I hated about this was like, okay, we're the people still watching the show. Correct. You don't have to tell us that.
Yeah.
We're tuning in. Like, we are your audience. You don't need to tell us about, you know, the comments that were made earlier this week or whatever.
Like, and it coming from the 20-year WWF veteran is like, it's graps to a certain extent, but, you know.
Did I hear someone say veteran, guys?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Hold on. Oh, the big
one.
Hello.
Dude, you guys need to watch the Astronauts match from Bloodsport. It was fucking awesome.
I was watching Stardom. Sorry.
Oh, trying to score points on me. Calling me a sexist live on the air.
Good, I didn't say it. That was your words.
That's what you implied.
Your words, not mine.
Fine. Well, anyway, the match was awesome. I'm here to hang out. I will not be, you know, providing any insight. I have to review this show for WrestlePurist after I get paid. So I'll just kind of be sitting here, making sure Tyree doesn't destroy the channel, you know?
Too late.
Yeah.
You already said the show's name wrong.
Really?
We're a little rusty. It's all right. It's all right.
We've rebranded, apparently, to Fleet Week.
Oh, well, that seems a little bit nasty, really, but never mind.
Joe, we're talking about the opening promo. Do you have any thoughts on this?
It was a great promo.
Mm-hmm.
I actually ordered an AEW flag in the middle of it because I want them to know how much it means to me that I watch wrestling on television. And definitely the people that are watching the show needed that message, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think there were like people out there that heard Adam Copeland say enjoy wrestling and was like, fuck, man, he's onto something. Let me delete my account, you know? Seriously, I'm being a dick. He means well.
Yeah,
he really does. It's just not something that needs to be on the TV show.
It's so unnecessary. It's just
so reactionary and like,
Punk thing wasn't, I don't want to relegate Punk, but it wasn't like that, you know, outrageous, right? Like, whatever. I don't know. But his delivery is always good, I guess, right? So,
sure.
Good for him.
Yeah. Tope, you haven't spoken about the promo.
So, I'm just not. So, I did like a little part of the promo. I liked if he talked about something else for the first, like, however long it was, minus 30 seconds, and then just had how he introduced Ospreay. I liked that part.
Fair.
I love Will Ospreay.
When did he get, like, the title? Because when he first walked in the ring, he was like, I'm here without my title. And then, like, Ospreay came in and it cut back to him and it just spawned in on his shoulder. I was very confused.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. You're right. I didn't think about that. It was, and he was just at Ospreay.
Ospreay?
Ospreay. Which did Rich also rule to make it even funnier.
He also said AEW were the best wrestle, and then we had a match later on, and then we'll get to it, but you know.
What happened? Did something happen?
That was incredible.
Did something happen on this show? Was there a bad match?
On this show?
You guys, did you like it when he said WWF and someone booed and he was like, hey man.
One person booed. One person booed. You can tell he already had the hey man don't boo lined up because it like didn't really get a reaction, but he still did it.
Just not necessary, but whatever. No. Man.
It was funny.
It was.
All right, back to the vibrator. What was next? The opening match. Will Hobbs, Will Ospreay, Battle of the Wills. Or as we named it here, Big Willie style. We have it coming in at good vibes. Joe, what were your vibes in this match?
I wasn't quite keeping score this week like I usually do, but I think good vibes is about the right place for it. This was really good. Hobbs, I remain pretty bullish on Hobbs, even though like he's in the exact same position he was in 4 years ago, or 3 years ago, I think. But Ospreay, depending on who you ask, is awesome at the big man, little man match. That's like an actual thing that he mastered pretty quickly, and you see he's kind of AJ fandom in. He's very, very good at those matches. That's been the case for a long time. This was the latest example. He took some crazy bumps. Very good wrestling match, I thought.
I agree. I think every time Will Hobbs has been given a chance in recent time, he's fucking killed it. Yeah. This match, the random Sammy match on Collision, which was fucking awesome. All the way back to like the Miro match, probably. He's been pretty fucking great.
Yeah, man. He's one of those guys who like you can overanalyze the spreadsheet part of it. But there's obviously something there. Every time he gets given a chance, it's just laid out. It's like I will say the thing that I don't want to do the Wardlow bit. You guys can, but I don't want to. But there is like a sense of danger that he brings that is not necessarily with some of the other big men on the roster. He feels explosive, you know?
He's really good at like imposing like how big he is. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Which is honestly, that is a real art form. And when we get to the next match, who I like Lance a lot, but he's way taller than Hobbs and does a worse job of that. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's a real thing.
Chris, opening.
Yeah. Up. I've famously also like in general, like I haven't really loved Hobbs, but I do agree with like, he just does a good job. He's great. Like he's a presence and he moves like he can actually move and like Joe said, just look dangerous. And I think that really lends itself to Will's style too. Man, I thought this was really good. Will continues to impress. He keeps showing that he's just the total package. He can pretty much do whatever he's asked to do. And I'm just, again, I'm really excited to see what he continues to do. And I'm super excited for the Danielson match.
Keep going.
Super excited for the Danielson match. Loved it so far. Just more Ospreay on TV, more Hobbs on TV, honestly, because like you guys have said, his recent outings have been really good. I think, man, they've got to find something for him to do consistently. It's just, again, yeah, like sometimes he falls into the same trap of after a while it gets a little stale.
Mm-hmm.
But there's got to be something for him because he's, I mean, he looks like a star.
I agree. Officer Tope?
So I'm pretty, I forget when I mentioned this, it may have been our show last week. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago, but I know I mentioned that, I have always been a big fan of Hobbs. He was for me, one of the first guys where it's like, I start watching Dark and like, he's one of the first guys. I think I saw his first match on Dark, like following his whole progression. So it's pretty frustrating to see, like, as Joe said, like, kind of in the same as that spot where he gets a big match a couple times a year and then there's nothing sustained after. But every time that he gets the match, to me, he shows out. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I concur. Next we have, it's cut off a little bit, mandatory double weird white guy with braids match consisting of Bryan Danielson and Lance Archer coming in at somewhere between pops and good vibes. We don't do numbers around here for anyone that's new. We rank solely off of vibes.
All the new viewers.
Yeah, yeah, of course. There's 167 people watching, brother. That might be a new record.
Yeah, Twitter's weird with that stuff. I need to, like, get on the phone to Elon and ask. Obviously, I talk to Elon a lot.
I mean, so. Yeah, I was going to say you have his number already.
So. Yeah. We'll stop talking about the wokes and talk about viewership on YouTube.
Finally.
Yeah, that's fair. That's what he'll say, right? But, but anyway, speaking of such, if you are watching on YouTube, do the thumbs up and the subscribe. But, Dukes, you were saying about this Lance Archer, Bryan Danielson match.
Mm.
Good, wasn't it?
I thought it was pretty good. I think Bryan Danielson is pretty good. That might be a hot take.
I think you should be careful with takes like that. Yeah, I don't want to get you in trouble, but no, it was good. I will say, I get why they wanted the shot of the guys going past each other. But this match probably does play a little bit better if it's not like immediately after another big man, little man match, right? Like it's,
yeah,
there's a bleed over there in terms of style that you can't really avoid. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was good and Lance looked good, which honestly I was pleased about because I didn't love some of Lance's recent performances. Oh, he looked good on Collision. He looked good again here. So that's good. He's getting up there in age. So I'm always kind of on alert with those things, right? But he looked good and I thought they had a good match.
I agree. I think we need to find a tag partner for Lance Archer.
Monty Brown.
You have his number, right, Tope?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, put a call in.
What about like an All Japan style team with Brian Cage? What do you think?
This division needs a big man.
Yeah.
We don't have one.
Because like Cage and Big Bill had that kind of dynamic. You could go back to that too. But for Lance,
Big Bill and Lance Archer sounds fucking.
That might be too big. Yeah,
I don't know, man.
I think Shelton's in play too for Lance's tag partner, but we'll see.
Archer goon.
Joe in the chat. We'll get to him. We'll get to that one.
Who?
Monty Sop.
Oh, Kip Sop.
We'll get to him.
He's gonna get. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree, though. Tag team would be a good spot for him. You could use him more while protecting him. It would be a good call.
Mm-hmm. Tope, famous Bryan Danielson hater. What were your thoughts?
To me, this is just like the floor of a Danielson match. Yeah. Like, in the moment, I enjoy it. It's good. In a week, I'm not going to remember almost anything from the match. So it doesn't have any of, like, the iconic great moments that, like, Danielson obviously does so often, but it's like it's Danielson on TV, so it's gonna be good.
Yeah,
agreed. Oh no. Chris Jericho has arrived.
Fuck.
Introduced by Renee Paquette, who I'm a fan of, but the Lionheart Chris Jericho. Why is he still Lionheart? His new facial hair is like dreadfully uncomfortable to look at.
I didn't even notice facial hair.
I didn't either.
Oh.
Wow. I didn't even, this is like a new wrinkle to this segment. Is that part of the vibes? Did that play a part in the low vibes here? Or the
they're always bad. Yeah. Being honest, when he's here. It's also very funny that I just realized that Jericho segment is not in the Jericho zone, but a match in the future is in the Jericho zone.
I think very good. To be fair, it wasn't a long segment, which I think may save it from being full Jericho zone, right?
Very true.
It's also two parts on the vibrator, I believe.
Yeah, it is. it got slightly better, but still very bad.
Wow. See, okay, let's talk this through then, because I don't like, why would it have gotten better? I didn't think it got better.
Chris Jericho talked less.
Because Hook and Jericho is better than just Jericho.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, bro. I'm not sure that's true.
I disagree.
After this week, maybe not.
Yeah. I think they have, like, actively bad chemistry.
That at the end was bad.
Bro.
Bet. And I think the vibes that you get from the idea of them together actually lowers it.
Yeah.
Oh, like a compound lowering?
Yeah, like a compound lowering. Okay. Exactly. Like that. Well said. Well said.
Oh, okay. Does anyone else have anything to say about Chris Jericho? Can we move on to the actual worst thing on the show?
Yes.
Yes, you have something to say, or yes, we can move on?
We can move on. Almost. Okay.
Jay White, Billy Gunn had probably the worst match I've ever seen in my fucking life. Just a true display of the fakest grabs you could ever imagine.
Fake grabs.
Not real grabs. I almost, if I had the real grabs LNG shirt, which you can get at latenightgrinshop.com, I would have burned it, or at least like put a piece of tape over it that said fake on it, and then worn it for the show.
I'm wearing it, but I didn't do those things, so it's not really much use.
Well, Joe, you like your gun, so.
That's not true, actually. I'm going to tell this here because some of the people watching this might remember. In 2021, which I believe was a decade ago, Billy Gunn wrestled Darb Allin, and they had a match on the Rampage, and that was back when Late Night Green used to review Rampage. We're still on. And Billy Gunn kicked out of the coffin drop.
At one,
thank you. I thought I was imagining that. Okay, at one. And there was a British guy, very handsome British guy, who came on afterwards and was like, we need to rally against Billy Gunn. Like, we need to now stop this. This is out of hand. It's wrong. And there were two American fellas, both of them into guns. And they were like, no, actually, it's beast. It was sick. It ruled. And we had like an hour argument about Billy Gunn. Well, it just so happens that here in April 2024, the verdict is in at last, and I was correct. Because you say it's a bad match, you're right, but we need to really dissect why it's bad, right? It's like, it's not a mechanical thing. It's not like they're botching everything. And fucking, he literally took 95, that's not even probably enough, probably 99% of this match.
Yeah, it was bad.
He wouldn't bump for anything Jay did. And I'm not saying it was like an unprofessional thing of like he went into business for himself. I'm just saying this is what he does in his matches. Like, he doesn't have any interest in.
These are Billy Gunn matches. Like,
yeah, and like when guys beat him.
Beat for beat. Like,
yeah, they cheat. He has to like slip on a banana peel. Like, this was fucking insane, man. The story they told here was that he had him beat at like multiple points.
He beat the shit out of him. Like,
yeah. And Jay didn't even win.
No.
That's the craziest part of all of it. No. Jay didn't even win. Billy won by disqualification. So how did this help anyone other than Billy Gunn, who is 60 years old and is in a trio that's already needs to move on from him? It's fucking dumb, dude. Sucks.
Yeah, anyway. It feels like felt like such a natural place to do like Anthony Bowens versus Jay White. And you get like an actual good match for 10 minutes instead of this horse shit. Tope or Chris, either one of you have any disparaging remarks about Billy Gunn you would like to share?
Yeah, remember, I refuse to call him Billy Gunn at this point.
That's
where
fair.
We are, but it's okay. Like, and no, and before we came on the air, I texted the Dukes and Tope, and I was like, "Did you see Austin Gunn's tweet?"
Oh,
he's okay.
I'm gonna read it. Hold on.
Yeah, please read it, because this is so, like, missing the point entirely and not understanding the fucking it's so, wrestling. Like,
it's so lame. Okay, here we go. This is from at the Austin Gunn on Twitter, not Ass Boy. I agree, guys. My 11-time tag team champion, 2-time hardcore champion, 1-time intercontinental champion, king of the ring, in better shape than all you bags of milk at 60, Hall of Fame, etc. Dad is a bum. Thanks for having my back. Guns up.
That was definitely the point being made. Nailed it.
The second title was the 2-time hardcore title reign.
Well, yeah, I think he went in order of, you know, amount of wins per championship.
The second most is hardcore for Billy Gunn.
Look, dude. Billy Gunn, I get it. It's his dad. And obviously people are doing a lot with, like, tearing down Billy's whole career, which I have no, you know, that's whatever. I didn't watch much of his career. I don't care if anyone did or didn't. I just didn't, right? Me personally. But it's like, that's clearly not the actual beef here. It's like,
yeah.
It's because he's wrestling Jay White, dude.
In 2024, 60-year-old Billy Gunn is beating the shit out of Jay White.
They did a fucking walking brawl.
They did everything but put Jay White over. And also, quickly, if this is the play call, right? Like, we want to get Jay over as a chicken shit heel so we don't have him get any offense on Billy Gunn, and then Billy's going to win by DQ. I think that's wrong, a mistake, so on and so forth. But why does it go 11 minutes if that's what you're doing? Like, this is where I think we've lost the plot with match times, you know? It's like two signed wrestlers, they must go 10 minutes. So they can't.
One of them is 60.
Yeah, you could have done that. If this is exactly what you wanted to do, I don't know why you'd want to do it, but if it is what you wanted to, you could have done this in 3 minutes easily. But it has to go 10. It has to, like, register as an official good match, which is the opposite of what this was, obviously. It's so dumb.
And why isn't anyone asking questions about this? Like, this is – why is this on the show?
Yeah.
There's so many good wrestlers on this roster. We got Billy Gunn minutes directly after Chris Jericho minutes.
You can't have your roster doing the "we're the best wrestle" and, you know, all these taglines, and open the show with Copeland talking about "we're the best wrestle" and, you know, whatever, and putting over the company, and then having this match where, you know, one of your, like, again, relatively new signings who's supposed to be a big deal, getting dog walked by 60-year-old Billy Gunn, like, dragged around the outside of the ring. It's ridiculous.
Nasty stuff. Tope.
So on the one hand, there's everything that you guys said, which is all very valid. On the other hand, though, have you seen how tall he is?
He's good point. Someone had to bring it up.
He's so old, though, and not even like the good kind of old, though. Not even like the good kind of old, though, like him, Cope or
him
Sting.
Him and Tall Paul should team.
Well,
sure.
Remember when Tall Paul turned on the Guns on that random Dynamite? And then never was on TV after that. I think that was a Dynamite after Punk came back, right? After the first dance.
One episode.
Do you remember the main event of that show, Joe?
I do. It was Brock Anderson and Malakai Black, which aged very well. Not that it was good at the time, but it aged even more funny than it was then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know with the I know people get upset about the Jay White. Get ready, I'm gonna say the word. I'll try and be the only guy who says it on this show. Discourse. Very mad about it, because, like, it becomes like a debate about whether or not this is better than him wrestling The Miz, which is like an imaginary thing that's like, oh man, it has nothing to do with WWE for me. I just think it's pretty hard to argue at this point that, like, this Jay White thing has been very disappointing. And that doesn't mean he is entirely innocent, because I don't think he is. I don't blame him for this, other than the fact he needs to start saying no to some of these ideas. But, like, he's been there, I guess, a year, right? I guess
almost a year. He debuted at the last Long Island show. I was there.
The one where FTO won the belts.
Mm-hmm.
And very little in that time has he felt like an actual big deal.
Yeah.
And at some point, if you keep telling me that's the way you see him, I'm just going to believe you, right? I already do, really. This was not main event presentation. I don't know how he felt about it, nor do I really care, because ultimately, as watching the show, that doesn't change it, right? Mm-hmm. This was brutal, man. Really
well,
bad.
Joe, you have to remember, if it was his idea, that actually means it was good.
Well, you're right. Yeah, I should have considered that. But, I mean, you know, because I did see some of that today. It's like, oh, Jay always does this stuff. He's fine. It's like, it's cool, but it's not really my point, you know?
Yeah.
When was, like, the world title picture?
November.
Yeah. Which that did more damage.
Yeah.
There's a million and one issues here. And it's like, so when he first came in, it was bad. Because remember, the Ricky program was, like, so back burner. It didn't have any juice.
Mm-hmm.
The collision stuff was pretty good. Even if it wasn't as a main event singles, they were such a big part of the show, right? And he was obviously going to work Punk eventually.
That's where they really got over.
We saw a rough Jay White Rampage tag in person.
Did we? I don't even remember, to be honest with you.
Exactly.
All I remember from that Rampage was Cash Wheeler versus Jay Lethal, and it wasn't good.
It's very long. Yeah, I can't remember that Jay White tag. But he got some juice when – actually, was it on with Sean Spears, isn't it, you fellas saw? Remember that? Oh, Sean Spears was friends with Ricky for a minute.
No, I think that was on a Rampage. Oh, wait, maybe that was
Rampage.
I think that was it.
Yeah,
Sean Spears. NXT superstar, four-star match, have a
– The chairman.
But yeah, he had that that run on Collision. And then the MJF stuff, which should have been a big deal. It should have helped him a lot because it was a main event of a pay-per-view. I don't need to remind everyone of what happened there.
It was bad.
It was really bad. And the build wasn't good either.
No.
And he come out of it coming feeling like a complete goof. Continental Classic kind of leveled him out. Didn't do a ton for him. And now we're here.
Unfortunately, he was like kind of the – not that anyone – no one in the Continental Classic was bad. But I think he was probably towards the lower end of performances.
Yeah. I didn't love that block. I don't
remember him,
to be honest. Yeah. But I think if I said to you guys, list your favorite matches from that tournament, I think most would come from the Colliders.
Damn right.
Moxley, I didn't think was at his best in that tournament. My favorite guy in that block was Mark, and he won one match, you know? So
yeah. Mark and Mox was very good.
Yeah, absolutely. Swerve had some really good matches.
Yeah. All my favorites are Brian matches, though. So,
yeah, I loved Eddie and DG too. Mm. But
fair.
Roosh was in there, but anyway, that's another topic. But yeah, it's
where's Roosh?
I don't remember. I don't know. The thing with Roosh is there's like a lot of. I'm not talking out of turn here, folks. This is not reporting. This is just like very obvious. It's like there's a lot of baggage that comes with Roosh, and. In AEW, it seems like their like relationship is just they kind of put up with it or they don't, and he just kind of just sits around otherwise. I don't know what's happening now. I think he was injured at some point, right?
Or yeah, but he did a tweet where he was like, "I'm cleared and ready to come back."
Right, and he retweeted the thing about Dragon Lee, which I don't know. It's weird. Hopefully, he wrestles soon, bro.
I'm sure it's fine.
Surely.
Back to the Vibes. Finally, we've been saved. The Vibes are back up. Willow Nightingale has saved us. She is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What a great fucking babyface promo.
Absolutely. Tope Suicida. Willow Nightingale. You a fan or are you still hating?
I saw Willow Nightingale was in the first ever live wrestling match that I saw against Brandi Rhodes. she lost to the stretch mark.
Oh my God, the stretch mark.
Very unfortunate result. But I have always been a huge Willow fan. I think that in terms of getting the vibes back up on the vibrator, you can't really do better than Willow. True. And while this like wasn't like my favorite segment because the usage of Monet has kind of been weird. It's Willow, it's Monet, Statlander, Stokely. Like, I'm going to like it.
I agree. And we got like real Stoke minutes for a second. Like, there was a little bit of a real fucking promo from Stokely in there, which he like really hasn't gotten to do, which is awful.
Yeah, that's a fascinating one. You're right. He had like a little. Was it probably a minute or two there to actually talk? He was good.
And Mercedes came out.
Yeah, this was a segment of two halves, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk all over your guys' show, but Chris, what did you think of this segment?
I thought it was cool. Like Tope said, I love all the characters involved, so this seems pretty fun. Obviously, the usage
of Mercedes a little, like, bit of a head scratcher.
Yeah.
I love the way they shot this too. Like, thought it was pretty cool. Willow in front of the crowd, obviously one of your hottest baby faces, because she always has been. Yeah, like I'm really high on Willow. Like, I still think that one of the best live matches I've ever seen was her and Athena in the Honor Zone.
Oh yeah,
in Orlando, that was awesome. So yes, Tope and I have very different Willow live experiences, but yeah, I'm just really excited to see where this goes. It's a lot of time to get to there, though. So
yeah, we'll that's see. The so when I, you know, I said it's a segment of two halves. I want to be clear in saying I didn't think the Mercedes half was like bad at all. Very short promo, it was fine, you know, but it didn't. I'm concerned I'm overanalyzing it, fellas. So tell me, just stop me if you feel I am. But I think it should feel like a bigger deal when Mercedes comes out after just 4 weeks, dude. Like, she's,
yeah,
she immediately just feels like a part of the team in a way that's like
great,
a little alarming to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the music needs something like distinct at the beginning.
Just at the start, yeah.
We need like a cash register sound or something like that.
Yeah,
something along those point. Lines, or just her saying money, you know,
just either, fire either song.
Yeah, it did feel like it hurt her reaction this week.
She should come out to, you know, she should come out to "Beautiful" by Snoop Dogg and Pharrell Williams.
interesting moment.
Are you suggesting a rebel entrance for Mercedes?
Sounded like what he was saying. I don't know. I think she's probably a pretty big fan of the song that we've got here. Make that what you will.
I would imagine.
I mean, the crowd was happy to see her. It just isn't like, it doesn't feel like electric in the building when she's coming out, you know? Like, it's not, she's not really, and that's, I've got to be honest, that does surprise me. I expected this to be more of a, maybe this is my fault, fellas, but I thought it would be feel a bit more of a big deal. Maybe it's just because she can't wrestle. The people have just like kind of,
I
think it would be, I think, like, okay, the her not wrestling thing is definitely like one of the bigger things here, but it's like, it's not like it's not like it's a hot angle. Like, you know, like, it's, we're not, like, she's coming out and there's a lot of like, oh, they're trying to tell the whole thing about like the ankle and what, you know, like, sure. And then you got the Chris thing going on, but it's not like it's a main event, like, as big a deal as the amount of speculation and the year that we were thinking of her coming in would like warrant for her first feud or her first thing to look like, especially when it seemed, I don't know, obviously, like, we don't know. It seems like this is going to happen at Double or Nothing, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't know if she's planning on having a match before that, but it seems like it's a long way to go. And I don't think we're at the point yet where she seems like just another character, but it definitely feels like we're heading in that direction. And it's kind of alarming with the amount of time that we have to get to Double or Nothing, like, where we end up on that. Like, we need something, like, something that gets
it's
people.
It's a weird dynamic, too, because it's like, Willow Nightingale is the beloved babyface. Mercedes is a babyface because people are happy to see her, but, like, her and Willow have a weird, you know, like, history and issue. And Mercedes generally acts kind of heelish, which is fine. But she's next, she's doing it next to, like, this pure white meat babyface, and it's just fucking weird, dude. It's a weird vibe. Like,
never.
I don't think the people know what to do with it, necessarily.
Never seen anything like that before, you know.
May
Double nothing match with a hot baby face and a new person coming in. I've never. I can't put my finger on it, but it almost sounds familiar.
You talking about Dustin and Cody, bro? Is that what you're talking about?
That's it. Thank you.
May I present a devil's advocate to this?
No.
Okay. I was gonna say yes, but Dukes is the host, so.
All right. I think that there is a chance that, and this is given a lot of benefit of the doubt here, there is a chance that it is a slower burn story, possibly, maybe.
Did you hold on? No.
My thinking is because I have a pitch in my head in which Willow wins the match, and that like basically makes Mercedes go full heel. Mercedes goes for the main belt after that. That's how it works in my head. Other than how it works in real life, it doesn't make sense.
The did issue you, is like,
I hang just on, want in the fantasy book.
On, hang on. Joe, I mean, Tope, did you just tell us to let it play out live on the air?
He did.
He said slow burn on Fleet Week.
I suggested that we continue to watch the weekly programming.
He's a police officer.
That's true.
The issue is that, like, the idea of Mercedes debuting in mid-March, not wrestling until late May, and then losing that match seems I don't know. But I don't think she's going to wrestle until then. So yeah, I don't know what the ideal scenario is. I'm going to watch Timothy Thatcher wrestle, fellas. I'll be back in a minute.
Fair. Have fun.
Like, unless they were like, oh, she's on the payroll, like, might as well just throw her out there. Like, I just don't get it. I feel like it was too early. Like, this is...
Yeah. If you knew she couldn't wrestle, it's definitely too early.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
When did they have the bot? Like, obviously, they didn't have TD Garden, but when did they have Boston on the schedule? Because what I'm thinking is that you debut her there, you sign her because you don't want her to go back to WWE.
Of course, yeah.
Get her on the books, debut her at the Boston show, even though it's a couple months until she's fully healthy.
But hadn't she already been on the books?
This is optimistic thinking.
The word on the street is that they couldn't book this building for much later because of the playoffs.
Oh, got it.
Fucking Celtics.
Make of that what you will. It's always the Celtics' fault.
You know, there's a Celtics fan in the chat. I won't name him. But fuck you, Meech, okay? Piece of shit. And also, it's very odd that they just dropped her into the middle of a story that's kind of already going on with somebody who is not the champion, but somebody who might win the belt. You know what I mean?
And you're telegraphing your next move.
Willow's not the champ. I forgot.
Yeah, Willow's not the champ, and Mercedes said, I got next. Julia wasn't out there. She's only talking to one person. Like, I don't know. It's not great. If she can wrestle, I would like her to wrestle Chris Statlander sometime soon. Can we agree on that?
Would be cool.
Okay, good. I thought it was a good idea. Now we move to the EVPs, which is titled, this is Tope's title. I don't really, you know, I don't get it, but. The eldest EVP voice versus OC with no shirt. I don't think he ever has a shirt when he wrestles.
Yeah, but he didn't have the good shirt on the intro. But he has
that's because
for like
he's
six
not.
Months.
It's because he's not the champion anymore, brother. That was
correct. Bad mistake. Bad booking.
Well, I don't know about all that. Also, you completely left poor Trent out of this, and he's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Actually, I guess the next segment is about Trent.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Blew the spot there a little bit. We're rusty. Yeah. We're getting back into it. It's okay. You know, we name the things such absurd titles that it's hard to remember what they're really about. The Young Bucks versus Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta. Sue was there. Chris, what did you think?
10 out of 10 on the tracksuits. Big fan.
Real?
This was fun. Like, obviously you got like the wink wink nod nod things from the Bucks, which, you know, interesting. We'll see where that goes. I feel like that's the right direction to go with this.
Personally. I agree. I feel like it well, let's just say it. They on their way to the ring, they said, "Hey, scapegoat, love your work," which is Jack Perry, of course. And I think they said something else about him later, but I can't remember.
Yeah, they told Sue, they went to Sue and went like this on Cry Me a River.
Ah, very good.
You know, internet stuff. Internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Can I talk about the match?
I guess, yeah, if you want to.
Yeah, sure. Go for
that. No. I like the Bucks. I think this is the most fun I think I've had with the Bucks in a while. And famously I'm very high on the Bucks. They're just so good at this. Like, this is
true.
Very fun television with them. And best friends are on TV, which is cool.
Cool. I concur. Tope.
I am famously the low man on the Bucks on this podcast. However, this is the most I have ever enjoyed the Bucks in their current iteration. And but they're kind of in that like Danielson tier where if they're having a TV match, it's probably going to be good. And
yeah, high floor.
Like, yeah. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think they're doing some of their best work outside of the ring. In the ring, I think they've been okay, but I think they're kind of getting used to wrestling in this kind of weird middle ground where they can't really do all their cool, flashy shit. They just need to be, like, mean. You know what I mean? Which they're good at, and we've seen. So, after the match, well, the Young Bucks win, obviously. They're moving on to the tag team tournament final. Sorry. I don't. Did you guys hear that Excalibur said, if this match goes to a draw, the match on Collision will be for the tag team titles?
Draw calls it elimination. I love it.
It fucking ruled. Yeah, it popped me. I was like kind of shocked. I was like, oh, we'll probably do a rematch. I thought you said they're going to do a rematch on Collision, but anyway, that didn't happen, so it doesn't matter. With a tear in Chris Alvarez's eye, the post-match for this. Chris, please take it away. You were moved.
Actually, let me try to find what I said in the chat.
Okay.
When this happened. Because I'm a very big fan of the Best Friends. I enjoy their stuff. I've enjoyed their stuff as a day one AEW watcher. So when this happened, I said, unprompted, nobody, you know, I said, cannot lie, I'm moved. that was a good time. Very fun time.
I agree.
Because I'm very nostalgic when it comes to Trent. For no reason, just because I think like one of the first wrestling shows I went to, he was on like Superstars or something. And then I was like, oh, that's that guy. And then it's I started Greg. Watching like, right, it's Greg. So watching Ring of Honor and New Japan, I was like, oh, look, that's the guy from the thing, from WWE CW. And then whatever. So, I mean, whatever. It's cool that, you know, they're on TV and they've been doing their thing recently. And they've been like such a fun act that the people like, and then to see this happen was really, obviously it's been building for a while, but it was really nice to see them like, oh, this felt really important when it happened on the show. And the reactions on social media and stuff, and Chuck's reaction too in the ring. Yes, it was this is going to be a thing. Like, this is going to be pretty cool television. So I'm really excited to see where this goes, because like, does it suck to me that they never won the tag titles? Like, kind of, but they weren't going to. I mean, I like the way think, that the.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I still think the Best Friends should have won the trios titles when the Elite, had to lose them the first time.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Why did they have to lose them the first time?
I can't remember.
Suspended.
For what?
Ha 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 ha.
For what?
Ha 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 ha.
What did they do?
Ha 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 ha.
Okay. Joe Holbert.
But
hello.
Yeah.
What did you think of Trent Barretta's turn on Orange Cassidy?
It wasn't as good as that Timothy Thatcher match I just watched, I'll tell you that much for sure.
The late night grin rules, because halfway through the show Joe will just leave and watch a Tim Thatcher match and then come back. This is the only I'm saying that's why this place rules.
Well, I'm British. I don't know if you really? Heard. I tried to say the T there because we often, like, I almost did it, but like, I kind of got a little bit of the T in there. Because usually it's like British, yeah.
British.
But we actually have a law when Timothy Thatcher wrestles and it's on streaming or TV, very rarely the latter, but generally streaming, is you are supposed to stop what you're doing. So I was just doing that. But what did you ask, Trent?
Yeah.
The guy on Twitter. I'm into it. It was a good. I'm sorry, I was gonna go somewhere else for that. It was a good turn, dude. Very well done. Great bump from Orange Cassidy. This is way overdue. Hopefully, we get some Rocky Romero minutes in this new plan of action.
Right. Put him in, coach.
Dude, you know, Roppongi Vice as a heel tag team would help that division a lot. Look at the state of it right now, right? Sure. Like, seriously. I've said it before, but imagine having, you know, top flight worker series with Roppongi Vice. That would do the world a good for those guys. So, yeah, I'm into it. It's way overdue. I have to be honest in saying that with Orange, I am very much battling the Orange Cassidy fatigue right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think the world of him as a wrestler, but I feel myself like zoning out when he's on. It's annoying me actually that I'm doing it. It was a good match, and the angle was very, very strong afterwards.
Yeah, I think that this is a really good opportunity for them to actually write off Orange for a little while. You could have Trent get real, real nasty and, like, really fuck him up and have Orange go away for a bit to kind of settle him down. And then when he comes back and he goes after Trent, it should be fucking, you know, off to the races.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think
go for it, Chris. The Twitter thing or the social media thing of Trent. I don't know. Was that good?
I did not watch it. I don't know.
It was more. It was interesting because he spoke to Chris Statlander and I think he said something about someone like heard that he said like you got to live your own life or something like that. I don't know. I mean, I think Chris may be turning here soon also. I'd imagine with this Trent deal, we get like a. It feels like him and Chuck are going to have like a Rampage bloodbath at some point.
Fuck yeah.
It will probably be awesome, right?
Actually, that match being on Collision would be very funny for multiple reasons.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know. It might be against the rules though, right?
There are no more rules, brother.
I'm not so sure about that, Chief. Respect tradition.
I would love to. But they got Chris Jericho wrestling on there, bro.
There's a Pepsi above Gorilla. They have a Pepsi logo. You have to kiss it before you go out.
This is Saturday. If you want to do shit like that, do it on Wednesday.
If you join the Collision roster, you have to do a rendition of Elton John before you can be welcome to the team.
You have to audition.
Yeah. You have to show you can play cards and shit like that.
I'd love to see Eddie Kingston's audition for that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's old enough that when you get over 40, you just get accepted immediately.
That's true.
Yeah. But yeah, it'll be good, man.
I agree. Tope, did you speak about this?
I have not. Remember. I have one comment. I would like no responses to the comment. We will just swiftly move on. My only comment on this is Jannetty.
Oh. He's never killed anyone, though.
Allegedly.
That we know.
Yeah, true.
Oh, I meant the allegedly so for Trent, not for Jannetty. Jannetty did.
I was going to say, that wasn't alleged, right?
Yeah, no. Wasn't that admitted? For Trent.
Wasn't it admitted? Yeah.
I think he said it on Facebook. I think he announced it.
Murder.
Well, to be fair, do you want to see Trent Barrett's Facebook anytime soon?
No.
He broke the news.
I don't know, man. But, you know. I think he's innocent. Trent, that is not my.
Definitely not innocent.
I don't know. I don't know if you can do the Jannetty thing when they're not a real team, Tope, to be honest with you.
I can.
If anything, in the AEW realm, it's probably poor Chucky that's going to be left out, right? He doesn't really.
Oh, he has to be like pretty fucked up, right?
I don't know what the deal is, dude. I hope he's okay. I don't know. I don't know what the like. I've never heard what the story is. So I don't know. Hopefully, he's good. He should do color commentary on the Rampage.
Oh my god. He said it on Facebook multiple times and then went on Dark Side and said, now see, if I were to do it, this is what I would have done. And then talked about OJ step by step.
OJ.
But OJ had already gotten away with it when he released If I Did It. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he also didn't do it on Dark Side of the Ring. And,
yeah, he did it as a book.
Wow, I haven't seen that Dark Side. I had to avoid that one, I think. Yeah, I saw that Buff Bagwell, the Dark Side, he talked about getting fake calves, and I was like, I'm good, man. I'm okay.
My God. Well-worked match between two pros. This is very spiteful. Who named this? This is the main event match. Tope?
Wait. That's a strange name for that, the Tope. What do you have to say for yourself here?
I wanted to call it, it's the Rosa.
I couldn't let that happen.
Okay. let's be fair here, with all due respect. There are many ways to describe this match. I would not have gone with the there's some matches that fit the two solid pros thing or whatever it is, but I don't know, man. I'd love me some Thunder Rosa, but I've said she's rusty for about 6 weeks in a row now, so I don't know. She may just it was a back problem, and you know, as we all know, we're all big sports enthusiasts and great athletes. When the back goes, big problemo, right? So
true.
I don't know. I was a little concerned by Rose's performance here. Nothing like, you know, catastrophic. I just looked like Mariah was doing a lot of the work here, didn't it?
Yeah,
they hit each other hard, which is cool.
Very true. Mariah May always does that. She hits very hard. She's very beast. She was good on the Stardom show too.
There you go again with the Stardom show, bro. I was watching Bloodsport. Nick Nemeth was only on one of these two shows.
Sorry.
God bless America.
Nick Nemeth on Stardom.
I won't be responding to that. I won't be responding.
Nick had his he had his shitty, like, I am now an indie wrestler tights. He didn't even bring any special gear for the Bloodsport.
Fuck yeah.
He hit a zigzag.
Did he wrestle Speedball?
Yeah, he beat the shit out of him, dude. He kept throwing him out of the ring.
Fuck yeah.
And then that Speedball fella threw like a cheap shot, kicked him, try to get a TKO. Nothing doing, bro. It was a wrap.
Hitting a zigzag in Bloodsport, it's like sacrilegious.
God bless America, bro. That's what I said, right? I mean, Josh Bonnet's fucking sweating.
Insane. What a weird time we live in. Speedball Mike Bailey versus Nick Nemeth in Bloodsport.
I think it's pretty fun. Yeah, it's pretty cool, honestly. Like, I know we're talking about AEW here, but Charlie Dempsey being able to work these dates because he's Regal's son is, like, actually pretty sick.
Yeah.
I know Shane is on this show, so it's cool.
And, Joe, to reference the Stardom show again, I don't know if you saw this, the AEW Women's World Champion was there.
I did, yeah. I need to watch that. I heard the show was sick, actually.
The show was – I only saw the last two matches, but Tony was there. Chris and Tope, have you seen this?
I've not.
Okay,
I saw that she was there. I didn't see
Mariah was wrestling a trios match with Mina and I believe Zaya Brookside. And did they lose? I don't know. I watched it 10 minutes ago and I forgot. But Tony came out and Mariah was kind of doing this stuck between her two friends kind of deal. It was very good. And then Tony Storm said to Mina, the forbidden door is always open.
Uh-huh.
So?
Forbidden door is going to be like a, I think, a you know, what we're looking at. New Japan, AEW, Simo, and Stardom all in, do you think?
Fuck yeah.
I think it's necessary, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it'll be fun.
I would like a Gabe Kidd match.
Yeah. I don't know who. We should have him wrestle Roosh.
Oh, my God. Can Roosh be on that show?
Probably not, no.
Yeah.
We could do... Coughlin's out now, right? We can't do the War Dogs on the FTR.
Yeah, that sucks. Oh, that would have been so good.
It'd probably be Finley in there instead.
Well, if there's a fucking Dave Finley match on this Forbidden Door card, I'm going to be very upset.
Who's the ideal opponent for young Finley, who's not really that young anymore? In AEW, that is.
Are we trying to think of like the funniest match or like who could get the best match out of him?
Sincerely, the match that make you go, oh, okay, that sounds good. I'll watch that.
Daniel. Billy Gunn. Oh, look, Ben just said in the chat.
Yeah, great, maybe. Mind, like, he'd probably actually sell for him, right? Out of respect for fit.
Maybe. I mean, maybe not. There's only one way to find out. We have to book it.
Roddy's a good call with the chat because he just chops him a lot.
Wait, yeah. I may change my tune on if Billy Gunn's gimmick is he only sells for second and third generation wrestlers and first generation wrestlers he does not sell at all for, but he loses in like a minute to anyone that's dad was in the business.
As he should, dude. It's respecting the business, right? Pass it forward. I like it. I'm with it anyway.
I'll be like Adam Cole.
Mariah May and the Thunder Rosa. Dukes, did you like this match?
I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was like aggressively bad or aggressively good. I thought it was aggressively okay.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It seems like that's the consensus, Chris. Same for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I couldn't put it better.
Yeah, so it's interesting. The honor, they're not doing the honor rematch. I don't really want to see the rematch, but it felt like they were doing that first, right? But
it did for a little bit.
I know they're telling the story of like she brought Rosa into it and it inadvertently knocked her out of contention. So that's fine. Tope, did you like Mariah May and the Thunder Rosa?
Yeah, I share the sentiment of everyone. It definitely feels like there hasn't necessarily been a plan for the division, and there was just like an end date on Tony's reign, and then they're just kind of filling in until then, and then adding Monet.
Yeah,
tend to agree.
I said I'm sure it's fine.
Probably not, but we can pretend if you want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tope told us to let it play out earlier, so just going by his word.
And then he said afterwards, we'll let it play out. God bless America. Remember when he said that?
That was
watch
weird.
Your wrestling.
It almost made me uncomfortable.
Watch your wrestling. That was a moment, man. Watch your wrestling. I was waiting for Copeland to say that last night.
That would have ruled. It would have ruled if he just went WYW.
it's all he was missing, with his
hands.
What if instead of you think you know him, it's WYW? What's your wrestling? He just says that at the start of his stream.
You watch your wrestling.
you know when he was listing off all the old promotions he used to watch? I bet money that like when Colt Bauer heard he was doing that, he like pulled a seat and I was like, fucking please God, listen, please. Like, he was thinking like Cope was going to go, and nowadays you can watch, you know, AEW, WWE, New Japan, TNA, and Cope's like, come on, we got to be next. Cope's like, major Tokyo leagues. Joshi Pro, you know.
GCW.
GCW, yeah.
Okay, let's get to the real main event. The contract signing between the big man, Samoa Joe, and Swerve Strickland. Blood is thicker than ink. Not sure if that is scientifically true or not, but it feels right to name it that. Tope?
Yeah.
I'm going to hijack this segment to talk about
That's why I threw it to you first.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We are.
Let's fucking do it, Tope.
Yeah. I found it hilarious that he was getting the chance, and I believe that my thought has been that Dynasty is when he comes back anyway. If that was not the plan, I think that may be a plan now. I hope that when Max comes back, the only way I think that people will not absolutely hate him is if he goes full-blown MJF back to like scumbag heel, not trying to do any of the baby face, and then basically like in a very limited sense for the first, like, in my sense you really have to rehab his image back on TV.
We gotta dial him in, brother.
He reached such highs and then it was such a rapid fall.
I agree. The only issue is that you've got to try and, like, what you said is absolutely correct, but at the same time, I think they're going to want to finish this this business off with Bay Bay, right? That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you do?
What?
You could just have him be that character and kill Bay Bay. It depends what you want to do, really.
And it's also actually one of those things where he's been sitting at home in his own mind for all these months, probably thinking of all these things that he wants to do, and you know that. I'm just gonna leave it at that. That could be.
He's gonna do them all in one segment. He's
gonna. That could be good. That could be bad. It could be very bad.
Maxwell's manifesto.
Oh Lord. So, I think we got that last year. I'm gonna be honest.
I was glad that, you know, look, bits aside, and everyone feels how they feel about Max, but obviously he's very talented.
Yeah,
we've seen it.
That's why it annoys me.
Yeah, we're only, what, just over a year removed from the Iron Man match? Like,
yeah.
It's just, you know, dial him in, brother.
For real.
Dial him in. So if he's on and he's used correctly, he's an asset to this show. Oh, like, yeah. Objectively, absolutely. He just is.
Like, big time.
Just don't give him Westbrook usage.
We would say it, or LeBron GM power, but we would say it. We would say he had great matches of, like, he's the fucking man.
Yeah, of course. He always does good wrestling matches, except when he wrestles Jay White. And it's just, it's the con, it's the, I guess it's the content that he uses. You know what I mean? Like, he seems to like veer off of the path a lot of the times. He needs to like focus and kind of lock in on one objective.
I agree. I agree completely.
And drop the goofy shit, because we've moved past it.
Yeah. I think he got it wrong as a babyface.
Yeah.
He kind of used irony as like a crutch.
Yeah.
Which was like, which he's wheelchair. Just, he's way better than that, dude. Like, just out there, like, I'm not really a babyface, guys. It's like, you're the one now, man. Like, you can't just do that forever, you know?
Yeah.
But he's, look, we're not talking ratings around here, but obviously he's one of their biggest stars, right? They're going to want him back in the game here pretty soon. They got to get it right, though, because if you look at the three big signings, we talked about Monet earlier. I think the Ospreay thing has been a positive, like, entirely. I think he's been a huge – I actually wouldn't want to see the show over the last month without him, to be honest. I think he's been, like, a huge part of the show's highlights. Okada, I think, has been positive. Ideally, the Eddie match is better than it was. Mm-hmm. It's fine. That was pretty good. 2 weeks where he's not been involved, right? Am I imagining that?
Okada? Yeah, I think about, 2 weeks. He might have been in the backstage.
Maybe moving and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Last week he did, I think, I'd hope it was already filmed, but last week he had that thing where in the middle of the Bucks match, you see him like nodding.
Yeah, yeah.
And I assume that was shot previously because, you know, I'd hope. This week, I don't think he was on.
No, he wasn't.
Now, he may just be moving or shit. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know. But so hopefully he'll get back in
his Ferrari.
Maybe so. Pay-per-view match for him is Pac, right? We think.
Yeah.
Which is big time. Yeah, that's cool.
That should be fucking awesome. I'm very happy that Pac is back in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, after you hijack this entire thing, Topher, did you like the contract signing?
Oh, true. Oh, yeah. I forgot we were talking about that.
Yeah. It was cool.
So did I.
Signing with the Blood. I'm a huge Swerve guy. I've been a huge Swerve guy since back in NXT, because I was watching NXT back then.
I have lore. You're done, Topher.
Okay. No. Good. Lore takes precedent.
Swerve Strickland. That's true. That's actually one of the main sayings of Fleetwood. Yeah. Lore takes precedent. Swerve Strickland signed the contract in Blood before he presumably wins the world title. Do you remember another wrestler who signed a contract in Blood before winning the world title?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
In AEW.
Hulk Hogan.
Fuck. Damn it. No. Come on.
Chris. Is he a cowboy or something?
Chris Jericho.
Joe's on the right track.
Cowboy.
Bret Hart.
No.
Cowboy?
You guys are killing me.
There's no cowboys.
Yeah, Bart Gunn, dude.
He doesn't have a hat, Tope.
Oh, Billy. Billy Gunn.
Piece of shit.
Nailed it. Oh, no. I think...
Why is my picture Joe? Why is my...
He was... I think I know who you're talking about, because last night Samoa Joe called him the Hangman.
Yes, that was him. That's what I was talking about. Yeah. Hangman Adam Page signed his contract in Blood before winning the world title, and then Swerve did it, which I think is a – whether they did it on purpose or not, I think it's a cool little thing how they're always connected.
Is that like a It Rhymes thing that you just pulled off here? Like
it's like
poetry. No shot.
Well, you see.
It's like poetry.
No fucking shot.
Long-term storytelling.
I think they did it on purpose. Am I wrong?
It's no shot.
I think they did it on purpose.
They might have. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, dude.
Call me a fucking conspiracy theorist, man.
What if he didn't start bleeding?
No, if you guys don't like my ideas, then I'll leave.
Now they're your ideas.
Yeah.
But we're in a creative meeting.
Is that not what this is?
Well, we'll see. But yeah, it's fine. Yeah, sure. That works. This segment was good, though, right?
Okay, hold on. I don't like these comments already.
You do sound like a conspiracy theorist, as to be said.
It runs in the family.
I actually think there's a good chance you're right. Like, legitimately, Will is part of the creative process, and he absolutely remembers that segment. I think you're probably right, legitimately.
Andrew, what did he say?
We have to have fun here.
Dwayne
disrespected Jalen Hurts.
This asshole Dwayne disrespected Jalen Hurts Tope.
Fucking Dwayne.
Jalen Hurts. Boss. Joe Ober, Jalen Hurts is the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I know, bro. I study the game.
He's going to be the governor.
Dwayne? The Rock?
Yeah, he's going to be the president, bro. He's going
Do you want to hear a fun fact? The first wager that I placed was $5 on Dwayne The Rock Johnson to win the 2020 presidential campaign. I placed it in 2014. I would have won $20,000. And then he didn't get into politics. He just did movies.
Give him time.
How old were you in 2014?
Don't ask too many
37.
Questions.
37?
We don't need to dig too into this detail on air.
38.
Nonetheless, good contract signing, fellas.
I agree.
Yes.
I thought it was great. I thought Joe turning around after like pulling the chain off his neck was fucking awesome. He's such a beast. He was out there in like a t-shirt and fucking slacks. He was wearing his Ring of Honor champion shirt. What a fucking beast. He was wearing the King of Television shirt.
He had to run back down the ramp. And like the way that things were placed, Swerve was already on his knees. Joe had to look, man, he's a big dude and he's taking a lot of bumps. Joe trying to get himself up as quick as possible so he could knee Swerve Strickland is a moment that I will remember for some time. Like, you see in the middle of it, you realize, like, oh, shit, I have to, like, slide through these ropes like a mark. This sucks. Yes. He, like, pulls himself up, right? He seems, to me, like he needs Swerve in, like, the chest.
He did.
My rifle weapon. Yeah, and Excalibur was like, he need him in the balls. I was like, Jesus, man.
No, he didn't.
I didn't think so either, but... That's what the masses were saying, Silent M. So it was really good, man. It was really good. It sold the match. And let's be real, we love both these dudes. This match needed a little bit of juice, right? Needed a little bit of punch. Hangman was like the main character of the story for a minute there. With him out of it, they needed the segment. I thought it was probably the most actual, like, effective thing on the show, right? This actually was like, it's achieved something. So it was a good way to close a weird show. Very weird show.
Yeah, a lot of ups and downs. Very Dynamite.
Yeah,
very, very late night grin that this is the one Flea Week comes back for, I think.
Yeah, on the week of WrestleMania too, like, yeah, just classic. You guys, like,
we got to get it rolling somehow. Eventually, we got to get on it.
Let's bring the AEW podcast back. When do you want to do it, guys? When WrestleMania week starts and everyone's watching Bloodsport and fucking Stardom and whatever else. Like, good house here though.
That's what we do.
Good house. Give us the thumbs up on the YouTube, folks. You know the deal. I'm getting good at that. See that?
LateNightGrinShop.com.
It was a decent show that captured the good, the bad, and the ugly of AEW. That's basically it, you know?
It was a wide scope.
Yeah, and there was again, the good was good. The bad was...
very bad.
Indeed.
Chris, yes, indeed. Any thoughts on the contract signing? I don't know if you even talked about it.
But it was awesome. We know how I feel about blood. Like that, I was sold.
Yeah,
I
mean, you're very scared of it. Chris is terrified. Yeah,
no, you see, originally I wasn't gonna buy the pay per view, but now I am. So,
hell yeah, bro!
Another happy customer, bro.
Seems to be a running theme.
Well, I haven't got that far, but yeah, it's something like that. You guys talked about CM Punk today.
Oh, fuck.
We did not.
He used to wrestle for All Elite Wrestling.
Oh.
No CM Punk talk on this. You will get Skip Bayless.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd heard that he wrestled for AEW at one point.
Skip Bayless?
Fuck,
that would rule.
Who should Skip manage in All Elite Wrestling? He'll manage a Skip Bayless.
Hobbs.
I think the play is FTR used to lose the Young Bucks. And like, we're getting back to that fucking real, you know, No flips, just fists. We're bringing in an expert. And it's like, oh god, they're gonna bring in Cornette. Please no. And it's Skip Bayless.
That's the actual play.
That would fucking rule.
Could you imagine if it was Brody King?
Oh my god.
Skip standing next to any large wrestler is ideal.
They would have to, like, imagine them shooting, like, vignettes with Skip at the studio. He's watching tape.
Oh, my
Skip's
God.
Skip's getting tattoos. Skip,
like, yeah, like, no, Skip, like, breaking down stuff on the big screen, like, drawing Skip. X's nose and stuff.
Skip's watching Dante Martin tape. Dante Martin. 2021 dark.
You have to neutralize his legs.
Skip's showing tape, but it's from, like the First Taste desk.
Oh my god, yeah. All his pre-tapes are like undisputed.
They build to a big head-to-head promo with him and Max.
Oh, and they lord. Just
exclusively point to the screen to show tweets.
they're both like trying to like roast each other or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they both realize they have a common ground of hating Stephen A. Smith. That's and good I think shit right there, bro. Then we can really get cooking. If we
how quickly would the MJF Skip argument get sidetracked?
Immediately.
It would never be on track, right? Like no. It would just be.
Like I'm imagining like the part in the interruption ticker with them two, and it's them just trying to get past the first segment, and they do not.
Max gets like 90 seconds into his monologue, and Skip starts yelling about being his turn.
It's my turn.
Tapping the table.
Max.
Shuffling his papers. Yeah.
Max, you have to stop. I mean, I can't do it as good as Oracle, but...
No. We'll get him to do it at some point. Next time he's on. Yeah. Anyway, this is... I've made it about Skip Bayless now, guys. This is why I should have stayed home for this town, you know?
I think Skip Bayless' discourse is fun.
Oh, good, so do I. We're the only four people, unfortunately.
Good thing we're the ones on screen.
What else is on the format, Dukes?
I think that was it.
Oh really?
We had more like a Bayless feature. Discourse than Punk discourse, and I think that's something to be proud of.
Real graps.
Sounds to be said for that, right?
By the shirt.
What, the more Punk, more Skip than Punk one?
I no, I said yesterday. Real graps.
Oh, I'm wearing it now, bro. Like, it's pretty cool. You can't.
LateNightGrinchShop.com.
Like honestly, I'm not saying this to pat us on the back because we do nothing. We literally just upload the designs. They're T public, but like they are actually quite nice, aren't they? They're not.
Yeah, good. They're good. They're like good quality too.
Yeah, which is why we make no money off them whatsoever. So go for it, folks. Buy them. There's a tie dye one that I just got today that actually looks pretty sick. Good stuff. Good stuff. Real graps, as they say.
Hell yeah.
Tremendous.
Any closing statements, Joe Hulbert?
I'm on Wrestle Purist in 14 minutes to review this show that we just reviewed.
Hell yeah.
Chris. I think it's... What does...
No, go for it, Chris. Go.
Sorry.
I was going to say, what does Collision look like?
Shit. I don't
know. Oh, no, it's taped, right? It's taped.
Yeah, I think Yuka's on it, so how bad can it be? But I want to quickly note saying, on tonight's Wrestle Purist show, these are the kind of tidbits you got on Late Night Grin. It's myself, Montgomery, and Chuck. And Monty's not usually on Thursdays. And he texts me, he was on, and I was like, oh, dude, you're gonna be a nasty guy on this show, you know? Like, this is going to be – he's got so many things he can attack. And he replied, I'm actively hoping someone will comment, this is why the show is better without him. So if you're watching this, don't comment that. Just know that that's the kind of spite you got to look forward to overall.
Don't play into his hand.
No, don't feed his ego in that regard. If it happens authentically, that's even funnier. So, yeah, that's what's coming up. Anyway, Chris, did you have anything to plug, mate?
Absolutely nothing. This show.
You sure? Yeah.
Thursday now.
True.
Fleet Week may return, hopefully.
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe we'll do it next week.
Yeah. It's a weekly question.
Maybe so.
Is this our third comeback? It's our third return.
The second comeback was...
It burned.
The press release. The press release with the
people were actually excited about that one too, and you guys were like, "Oh fuck it!"
Did we just not do it?
You did like
yeah, we did it. I think. I think we did one.
One maybe. Yeah.
It was one.
Tope, do you have anything to plug or promote?
We have our next match review coming out in the next
whenever
it comes out. So if you want to, if you want to plug that more, other than that, just Fleet Week, follow Late Night Grin, all of that stuff. Woohoo!
Yeah, we're probably going to go with the match review. Tope has done his part of the job as always wonderfully, I'm sure. But because it's Mania week, we're going to probably hold it until like Tuesday or Wednesday, just because it's chaos right now. Right, I have like 8 shows to promote every day, so we're going to wait until it dies down a moment, and then we're going to be bringing it up. I will announce it because I've kind of hinted at it. This review is me redeeming myself for the Kurt Angle war and my small part in it. So this is Kurt Angle versus Ken Anderson is the match we're reviewing, which is
my God,
famous Cage Moonsault match. Tope, you've seen the product at play here. How do you feel about this review, mate? Happy with it?
Yeah, I think it's either like the same quality as the other one, maybe a little bit better. I think I did the editing a little better this time.
Try and get better at the script part of things, folks. Give me time on that. But for now, Tope will continue to carry, which we'd love to see. Dukes, you're booked. Like, I've actually like, actively booked you for like 3 more shows coming up here.
Correct.
Yeah.
I don't even remember which ones they are.
You're on tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
I think Dukes is on tomorrow.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, you are. Okay. I mean, everyone's invited, but I know I specifically booked Dukes for the Supercard of Honor review. I don't know if that's going to be on our usual time for Late Night Grin because, like, that show is probably going to be 4 hours long, right, by the time Tony gets done adding stuff tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
But as soon as Supercard ends, we'll be live with the Late Night Grin 103. I think 103, yep, to review the show. Myself, Dukes, Manuel, and Matt Bullets. I'm also going to announce here next Friday, we're doing a Windy City Riot, the show's called, right? New Japan. We're doing a grin along for the flagship. So, again, time slot will change, but the lineup as it currently is, myself, Dukes, Manny the Hooper, confirmed shoot, and somehow, some way, Contrarian Alex will be tuning in for Windy City Riot. A show that he thought was taking place in Tokyo until I told him the name of the show. Yeah, he's going to be there to watch Tomohiro Ishii versus Nick Nemeth here live on the app. So that's what we have to look forward to next Friday. But
I'm going
to
be a freak during that match.
I'm so excited. It's going to be a fun time. The show's going to have like actual good matches, but when it's not good matches, we're going to have a lot of fun.
Manny and Alex on the same screen is like...
Yeah, it's big business. So... Tomorrow, Late Night Grin, Saturday and Sunday, we're reviewing the WrestleMania. Dukes, do your own plugs, your own promotions, and then take us home, mate. Go for it.
I don't have any.
Oh,
don't follow me on Twitter. Yeah. I forgot that I made my lower thing my Twitter ad, but don't follow me on Twitter. And that's it. I don't know how to do an outro still. So, goodbye.